Thank you for joining me for another webcast for today. And I want to let you know what day it is. I'm sorry for not playing the other things. I don't feel up to it. I wanted to get into this quick. It's Monday, August the 19th. And it's a nice, cool night in Los Angeles. But I thought that I'd speak with you, my audience, about a dilemma that I have as I was pondering here earlier. I had a very interesting meeting with so many young men today. Got a phone call from one that I thought was totally finished with me and totally misunderstood him. Because I've learned from this generation is that if they didn't say it with their mouths or show you in very discriminate ways, then don't think that it can be a part of your lot. There's a lot of wisdom to that. Then, I learned so many lessons today. I learned not to judge a book by its cover. And I had to ask them in that generation to do the same to me. Because T came by tonight. And of course, I had Devontae with Mike, his best friend. And T remembers that because, or recalls it, because when his best friend, Mike, came by, it was always a house full. I had taken out some salmon to thaw it out, have a little chicken and shrimp, and have a little Asian plate, kind of throw it together. Let Devontae take over. He did a pretty nice job. I ate a pretty good helping tonight. But I came upon something in my mind, and I wanted to share it with you as a Christian. You've heard me say it again and again that I believe that evangelicalism has run its course because of its ineffectiveness. In most cases, just to sit down and to communicate with that generation, just to communicate with them, let alone to have ongoing conversations. And most of the reasons why is because there's a communication gap. You know, we're talking the same language, but we're not talking about the same value of the language. Oh, I wish I can put it to you in words plainer than that, but I can't. The language that I speak, I'll give you a good example. I watched with two young men the Netflix movie about marijuana, and I watched it. Oh, I forget the name of the movie. I just watched it with two young men, and I said, I want you to look at the disposition or the attitude or the demeanor of a culture that was far in advance, backwards. And so as we were looking at this movie about the way people looked at weed, the conversations began to sprout from all the young men that were here. There was four of us having this conversation, and I was the fourth party, and I'm telling you, I was in the midst of listening as well as learning. And that is what I have been proposing for such a long time for the Christian community to do. If they were going to be effective, that there has to be some listening if you're going to learn. And if that does not take place, well, then no understanding will be gathered. So, I was looking for a biblical precept to tie it to, something to tie it to contain it together. And the actual, I guess I can say, the actual truth about the situation is that when an individual is of such attitude and behavior, there is a more of an open plausibility there. there's something that is getting ready to take place. There's going to be something that's going to happen between. Now, once that door is open, listen to what I'm saying. Once that door is open, the door to wanting to understand the other person's culture, life, and events, then I think that there's a possibility or a way for you to, if you will, evangelize that generation. I want you to hear what I'm saying, because if you do not go through the doors that they have deemed are openable, because they are their own authority. Love my friend Dean Gocher, because Dean and I love to have discussions on authority. If you go to my website, I'll point this out. I think Dean is still attached to my website. I hope that he and his lovely wife, Karen, still listen to me. But at the bottom of my page, as you move all the way down to the bottom, on the front page, right after you go, because I'm moving down with you, you will see it right there. You just move up a few lines, and it says Institution of Authority Research. Dean Gocher's primary thesis, if I can give it to you, summarize it, and it's so much on this website. As a matter of fact, I'm going to go into it right now. There's so much on this website that it would be impossible for me to handle one of Dean's discourses on it. Just a brilliant work. If you want to read about the dialectic Hegelianism and how the church has been overrun by it and how our society also has. But if you're socialist, it wouldn't matter, because you're happy to be there. Well, I guess I'm happy because I'm still working in an environment where I'm able to meager out a living. That is not going to be the way it is with these young men, because they aren't going to meager out anything. They're going to pave their way in a way that we were never taught to do so. I don't have the slightest idea who this is. But I don't think I want to answer it, especially this late at night, so I'll let it ring. Oh, my goodness, you're tempting me. It may be important. I know, people, when I meet out these kinds of epithets, when I, continuously give them, and, you may be saying, John, give me a Bible verse. I can read the Bible to you. I'm trying to tell you how you're gonna. Hey, it's like I'm in a research situation here. I'm trying to find out why our moral, and I'm not talking about no moral thing about gay or not gay and straight and all that, because there've always been we people in the world like that, straight, gay, everything. So I'm not even concerned about that. I'm concerned about the wherewithal that we can find that would be the key to help us all get along. And it was taught so freely and clearly in the church that all of us should have gotten it. Why didn't we get it? I'm not going to ask the question, where did it turn into, how can I say it, this fascist type of thing about worshiping the pastor for whatever God, whatever that is for. Many pastors just like me and knows what he is. He's grateful that God even called him to preach and would rather sit down than to get up and bore you with what he thinks God is talking about, as close as he can come to it anyhow, because that's about as good as you can get. It's a wonderful occupation, but it cannot be misused. And the way that many pastors misuse the occupation of a pastor is by taking advantage of a parishioner that has never really seen one. If you can rightly think about that, never really seen one. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Well, let's do something. Because I am a Bible man, and what I want to do right now is go to the Bible. And I want to share some verses with you about this. There we go. Subject matter that I'm quibbling on and on and on about. And I hope that you would like to... Oh my goodness, wait a minute. Why is it when you want to use the computers that they just won't do right? Okay, hold it. There we go. All right. Let's do this. Let's go to the book of Galatians. And we're going to start at verse chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul says, an apostle not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul says, I was a commission, not by men. In the same sense, if God has spoken to you about anything, he's commissioned you to do some things. Then he says in verse 2, and all the brethren who are with me to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, whom gave himself for our sins. See, he knew who he was, what his life was all about. Now, I know that in this year, 2013, know that, very aware of that. I know the history behind these words, these verses, these statements. But most of the people that I recognize in my culture today that attend church, if you had asked them to define those simple characteristics that I just read about, they could not. They dare not even go there. You know, one would have to ask, why would you believe something that you have no cognizant dissonant mind to understand, even if you could intellectually figure Jesus out? Would you believe it because the masses believed it? Or would you believe it because your very life depended upon it? I was out tonight and I said, you should go into the studio and do a late webcast. And I am. And it feels good to walk back into the studio and do these kinds of things again. Kind of like keep before you the question. Are we living by this blessed word? As me and Mark Ramsey espoused on the radio some many, 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 many years ago. Don't get confused by the counterfeits, because they're out there. But I'm not going to be here all night. Just a thought that I want you to think about. And I'd like to wish for you, verse 3, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. Thank you for coming to my website.